Cooley's approach proved prescient. No one could predict all the changes that would be wrought by banking deregulation. Yet when these changes came, no bank handled those challenges better than Wells Fargo. At a time when its sector of the banking industry fell 59% behind the general stock market, Wells Fargo outperformed the market by over 3 times. Carl Reichardt, who became CEO in 1983, attributed the bank's success largely to the people around him, most of whom he inherited from Cooley. As he listed members of the Wells Fargo executive team that had joined the company during the Cooley-Reichardt era, we were stunned. Nearly every person had gone on to become CEO of a major company. Bill Aldinger became the CEO of Household Finance, Jack Grundhofer became CEO of U.S. Bancorp, Frank Newman became CEO of Bankers Trust, Richard Rosenberg became CEO of Bank of America, Bob Joss became CEO of Westpac Banking, one of the largest banks in Australia, and later became dean of the Graduate School of Business at Stanford University. Not exactly your garden variety executive team. Archie Miller, an active Wells Fargo board member for 17 years, told us that the Wells Fargo team reminded him of the famed Whiz Kids recruited to Ford Motor Company in the late 1940s, of which Miller was a member, eventually becoming president of Ford. Wells Fargo's approach was simple. You get the best people, you build them into the best managers in the industry, and you accept the fact that some of them will be recruited to become CEOs of other companies. Bank of America took a very different approach. While Dick Cooley systematically recruited the best people he could get his hands on, Bank of America, according to the book Breaking the Bank, followed something called the Weak Generals, Strong Lieutenants model. If you pick strong generals for key positions, their competitors will leave. But if you pick weak generals, placeholders rather than highly capable executives, then the strong lieutenants are more likely to stick around. The weak generals model produced a climate very different at Bank of America than the one at Wells Fargo. Whereas the Wells Fargo crew acted as a strong team of equal partners, ferociously debating eyeball to eyeball in search of the best answers, the Bank of America weak generals would wait for directions from above. Sam Armacost, who inherited the weak generals model, described the management climate. I came away quite distressed from my first couple of management meetings. Not only couldn't I get conflict, I couldn't even get comment. They were all waiting to see which way the wind blew. A retired Bank of America executive described senior managers in the 1970s as plastic people who'd been trained to quietly submit to the dictates of a domineering CEO. Later, after losing over $1 billion in the mid-1980s, Bank of America recruited a gang of strong generals to turn the bank around. And where did it find those strong generals? From right across the street at Wells Fargo. In fact, Bank of America recruited so many Wells Fargo executives during its turnaround that people inside began to refer to themselves as Wells of America. At that point, Bank of America began to climb upward again, but it was too little too late. From 1973 to 1998, while Wells Fargo went from build-up to breakthrough results, Bank of America's cumulative stock returns didn't even keep pace with the general market.